If you don't know me, my name is Brandon. I'm just another part of our church family and privileged to be a pastor on staff here for 15 years. And our lead pastor is actually in Israel right now. And so he's been sending us emails. Man, God's been doing some incredible things, and he can't wait to share a lot of what God's been speaking and showing. So really great for that. But we're going to continue. Before we jump into today's teaching, I would love to just recognize a few people in the room. We've already recognized our guests, but we have our deaf congregation that's with us this morning. And so this is how we clap for them. Can we just say thank you that they're here in the room? Come on. I love it. It's pretty sweet. And we're in three languages right now. We have some of our congregation listening to this service being translated in Spanish. Come on. Can we give it up for all of our Spanish team that's helping pull that off? Woo! That's right. So Edward's in the back and he said, "Brother, when you're teaching today, please remember, I'm trying to listen. Slow down." That's what he told me, so we'll see. Here's really quick, Edward. It probably isn't going to happen, so I apologize from the start. We also have our online audience, which is just great. So many times we have people who are out of town, or we have some people today who are in the hospital, and they couldn't be here, and so they are with us still, and we just want to say thank you, and so glad you get to be a part of today's service, not just the teaching, but the whole service, and we're praying for you and thinking of you as well. And then finally, we have one other special announcement to make. Is she in the room? All right, is she in the room? We have someone on our staff. Jim, would you like to share a little bit of news for us? Go ahead and stand up, girl. Woo! Stand up, Braxton. That's it. That is a good-looking man right there she caught. So anyways, they got some great news, so we're just so excited as a church family to celebrate that, and it's been a great week around here. That's all I got to say. So we are in the third part of our series we're calling First and Goal, and what we're doing is we're taking a look at what it really means that God has some goals for our life, and yet what does that require of us? And what we've been saying is that often to get to the goals God has for us, it requires us to take the right first steps. And so that's what we've been focusing on. Last week we talked about how such an important way to make sure you're getting to God's goals is to make sure you have the right people around your life, with the right team on your side. Come on, how many of you remember Pastor Anidra's story from last week? You don't want the person on your team that's going to take the ball and run to the wrong goal, right? That's what I remember, and so I hope you guys do too. And what we're going to talk about today is we're going to look at what it means to face some of the opponents that we have in life. And I don't know about you, I'm a big football fan. I actually love college football, the Virginia Tech Hokies. And this week was a great week for us because it was a bye week, which means it's the only time it's a guarantee we're not losing. That's really what it means as a Hokie fan. And something I know about the Hokies, and it's what I know about you, and it's what I know about me, is that often our biggest opponents are not in front of us, but they're inside of us, right? Come on, any loyal football fans know your team, sometimes they can beat themselves. It has nothing to do with the people on the other side of the ball, and keep it down up front. And but listen, seriously, just think about your life, and what I know about you is that some of our biggest opponents to moving to what God has called us to be and who God's called us to be, it's not outside of us, although there are some opponents there, but it's really within us. And one of the biggest opponents we face that I want to talk about today is worry. Worry. Worry, worry, worry. That's fun to say. Worry, worry, worry. It's one of the biggest things. I think this is so important to talk about because we all worry about something. And it's just it's an important topic to discuss. It's important to dig down into. I think we all worry about something, and what I know about this and how this comes up is that whenever we have uncertainty in any way about our tomorrow, it's easy to worry. It's easy to worry. Now, I will say, I think some of us worry differently, and some of us, our worry looks different. So let's just say this table represents uncertainty. And for some of us, when we worry, we just worry, worry, worry. We just look at that table and we think about that table and, oh no, that table is there and I don't know what to do. In fact, we're so bad, we don't just look at our table, but we look at other people's tables. Oh no, do they know that table's there? Do they see that? I see this table and that table. All I see in my life are tables. That's all they see. Those people, they worry like it's a spiritual gift. Like if they don't do it, the world, come on, don't nudge them or touch them or anything. Just but we know who you are. You know, there's no hiding. I know you try to worry less, but then you worry, am I worrying less enough? And I just don't know if I'm worrying. Anyways, that's a never-ending conversation. I will tell you that right now. Worriers. Others of you just don't worry about anything. In fact, your spouse is so worried that you don't worry. Would you just care about anything in life? Some of you don't nudge them again. You have a high schooler, or maybe you have a college student, or maybe a full-grown adult living in your house, and you're just like, please worry. Please. Please worry about something. I live with my in-laws right now, but please don't hold that against me. But I know that some of you are feeling that with people in your life, and we'll talk about them in a second. Honestly, for me, that I don't stare at tables and worry about them. I don't really, I'm not a very carefree kind of, I did watch The Lion King this week with my family, the new one that came out. And so Puma, Hakuna Matata, you know, I mean, that whole carefree living. We'll address that later, but that's definitely running in my head. For me, when I worry, I really don't have time to worry. And so what I do is I work. I don't have time to think about it. Let's just work. If I see some uncertainty about my tomorrow, I don't worry over here. I work. I want to try to figure out how I can work around all this worry. Some would say that I might have a difficulty dealing with my emotions. But let's not bring my wife into this. So we just work. And I really think, you know, when you think about the spectrum of worry, I think that's what you've got. You've got the worry over here and the work over here. And I think we're all just kind of somewhere in the middle. That's kind of what I see with worry. We all do it. And so that's why I think it's a good thing to talk about and why it's good. Because if any of us are going to move forward in life, we are going to have to face some uncertainties. And how we deal with our uncertainties will determine where we get to. And we'll look at why that's true. But first, let me just give us three questions to help us kind of think about worry and think about the heart and what's at the heart and the bottom of our worry. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to admit anything, but let's just start with question number one. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? It's a pretty good question. I found it on Google. I just looked it up and saw, oh, that looks like a pretty smart question right there. All right, now you may raise your hand on this one if you'd like. This might be an easier question. Who of you have worried so much that you have taken a year or two off your life? Come on, anybody in the room. How about this? Who of you have worried so much you've taken a year or two off your family's life or your children's life? Or, you know, you do all the worrying for us. We are so grateful for you. And then finally, number three, just a good question to think about. Has worrying ever enhanced the things in your life that you hold as most valuable? Yeah, I think if you would think about how has worry worked for you, I think most of us would say probably hasn't really done this. You know, that's the thing. Nobody argues that worrying is beneficial. Nobody. You don't have to be a Jesus follower to think that worrying actually adds anything to life. It doesn't help any. None of us have gone through life and said, you know, until I worried about that thing, man, it just didn't move. Until I started worrying about our house selling, you know, thank God I did, because otherwise I just don't know if it would have. None of us would ever say that. And yet we know the answers to all three of these questions. And we still worry. We still worry. So why do we do that? How do we get there? I think this is what makes worry such a great topic of conversation for us, because even if you know all these things, and even if I could stand up here and I could preach this sermon, in fact, I just did, and it's short, right? Worry, it doesn't add anything to your life. It'll actually, experts say, take things away from you. It could decrease your life. and it's not going to enhance anything, so the sermon is, stop it. That's it. Let's pray. Right? All of us know this, but it doesn't stop it from happening. And so what I want to do today is I want to help us look at, even when things are uncertain and we have uncertainties about tomorrow, what can we do today to not worry? Is there another option? And Jesus actually shows us there's another option that we can discover so that when we have uncertainty about tomorrow, we can choose not to worry about it today. Good? So we're going to look at that with what Jesus says. And I love Jesus' teaching. Honestly, this is a passage for me. I really began to embrace about 17 years ago. And I will tell you, it radically changed my life. I mean, it wasn't just, I grew up in church. I was pretty much saved in birth and at birth. And so I've always known, you know, I believed about God and I believe this about the Bible. But something happened when I began to take what Jesus says about worry to heart, and I began to actually base my decisions off of what he says. And it changed my life. I'm telling you, and what I'm hoping for you is that if you would embrace this word today, you would experience that same kind of change what Jesus wants to teach us. And what I love about Jesus and what I love about what he says about worry is this. He says that worry, he doesn't just give us the solution to it, but he underlines the problem of it. And I'm going to give you the problem right here. Jesus says that the solution is not to not worry. There you go. Jesus says that, listen, the solution to conquering worry is not about controlling your emotions. He says that's not the issue. In fact, if that's all you focus on, you become a worker like me. And I don't want you to do that. So it's not about just controlling your worry, controlling your emotions. You don't control worry by trying to control worry. That's the wrong fight. In fact, here's what, and I'll give you right up front, Jesus' diagnosis of the problem of worry. What he says is that the things that you and I are most devoted to are the things that determine what you worry about the most. Devoted to, those are the things that you value the most, the things that you hold on to, that when everything else falls away, this is what I'm sticking to. That's devotion. And he says, your emotions point to your devotions. Your emotions, your worry points to what you're most devoted to. This is the connection Jesus makes, and this is where he starts his teaching with us about this. So what I want to do is, I want to take us to this teaching. It's in Matthew 6. Matthew is one of the four gospels about Jesus' life. And there's this eyewitness account of Jesus' teaching on this very topic. And I want us to go through it. And my hope is today that we kind of tease it out, not just run through it. Some of us, we grew up with these verses, but I want to slow it down and process it and really hear what is Jesus saying, not just about the solution to worry, but the problem of worry. And how can we, once we know that our emotions point to our devotions, how do we choose to deal with our uncertainties tomorrow? You good with that? Good. So I've given you in your family guide, I've given you the passage on the front, and there's only two blanks today. Isn't that amazing? So that's all you got to worry about. And it's at the end, so if you just kind of check out, and don't do that. But if you do, you know, you'll still make it. You can also find it on your phone or find it in your Bible, but whatever. I just want us to look at the teaching of Jesus and hear what he has to say about this issue that all of us are familiar with called worry. So let's look. We're going to start in verse 24, chapter 6 of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus begins here. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either, and listen, this is where he gets it. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Now, I love those words, devoted and despised, because those are words that are talking about order. It's talking about priority. It's talking about where we place things in our heart. Again, devoted is the thing that we are holding on to, the thing that we don't let go of, the thing that matters the most. And despise, think about it, the idea of despise is it's this thought in my mind, and I take the value or the opinion of something, and I despise it. I lower it in my mind. I lower it in what's important to me. You know what? That's important, but it's really not that important. I despise it. We tend to think of despise as like you've got to really hate something to despise it. No, despise just happens when you take something that's important and you lower it to a level where it shouldn't be. See, and what he's saying is this is how it works. You can't serve two masters. Order matters. That's what Jesus says. That you can't put two things first. You can only be fully devoted, fully trusting in one thing. So what you put first matters, because what you put first determines where you go. What you put first determines your destination, your destiny, who you become. And so you've got to see, you can't serve two masters. And then Jesus, he gets super personal with each one of us. He says, you, me, you cannot serve both God and money. Now, money is kind of a narrow word. It really is stuff. The word means just all your stuff. You can't serve God and all your stuff. You can't. You can't do that, all your stuff. You can't serve God, make that important, because the two things, all your stuff and God's priorities, they're always going to be at war with each other. There's going to be a tension for your devotion in this fight right here. You can't serve both God and money. And so if that's true, then how do I know what to do with my emotions? And how do I know what I'm really devoted to? How do I know this? And this, again, is where Jesus takes us in the conversation. So let's look. He says, therefore, so let me pause. Therefore is a great word, because therefore in Scripture always connects us to what was just said, to what's about to be said. Good? You always say, what's that therefore? Isn't that fun? So what's that therefore? It's connecting the devotion issue, and let's see what he does. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry. So he's connecting the devotion to our emotion. You tracking with me? He says, therefore, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, and about your body, what you will wear. Now, he's talking about worries that for this context, we're hearing this teaching, the people there, this was their main worries. I mean, they were a hand-to-mouth society. Food was hard to come by. It was scarce. You had to work really hard for it. Clothes were not easy to come by. Clothes were expensive. They wore out. You didn't always, you know, have tons of options. So that's his worries. But I'd like to take a minute and just contextualize this for us and the things we worry. Because he would say, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your promotion. Do not worry about when's the right time to pivot in your business, in your industry. Do not worry about your prodigal son or daughter. Do not worry about your marriage. Do not worry about your health. What? Don't email me. This is Jesus, okay? Do not worry about your life. Now, listen, I'm with you. Because I hear that and I think, yeah, but I mean, it's what I... Come on, Puma, Hakuna Matata, what are we doing here? Am I not supposed to care? What does that mean? What do you mean don't worry about it? And I will say, later down in the scripture, Jesus clarifies this, but I just want to make sure and say it here. No, he's not, do not worry doesn't equal do not care. Because if something is valuable to you, you do care. And life is valuable to Jesus. So he's not saying this isn't valuable. He's not saying these things aren't important. Your health's not important. Your marriage isn't important. Your prodigal son's not important. He's just saying you don't have to worry about those things. Don't worry about it. He's speaking to the matter of order. Order matters. What your emotions are tied to shows you what you're really devoted to. And I want you to start thinking about what you're devoted to. Let's look what he says next. He says, is it life more than food? And the body more than clothes? Again, let me kind of contextualize it. Isn't life more than your 401k? I mean, sure, yeah, I mean, retirement's important and, you know, thinking for the future is important, but isn't it more than that? Yeah. Isn't life more important? Isn't it more than getting married? I mean, sure, it's important, and yeah, marriage takes up a lot of, you know, time, and it's important, but isn't life more than that? These are hard questions. Isn't life more than your health? Yeah, I think Jesus is asking us to wrestle with some things that we read this at first, and we don't care about these things, but you start importing some of the things that we worry about, and yeah, it starts getting a little touchy. And I think Jesus is about to get, you know, I think the next thing he says is the thing that makes me, you know, it's just, I think it's a little insensitive. Look at the birds. What? I just want you to picture it. Look at the birds. What? I don't have time to look at the birds. I mean, come on, I have a van that's been on its last leg for 3 or 4 months, and I didn't say this in the first service because the patent's right here and I don't want them to know about it. I don't have time to look at the birds. I haven't seen a bird in 10 days. Look at the birds. I got to figure out transportation. Look at the birds. My kid's failing 10th grade. I don't have time to look at the birds. Look at the birds. My health is declining. I literally don't know what to do about my health. I don't have time to look at it. I really think Jesus is being a little insensitive to all of our worries. Maybe that's just me, but that's what I read from it. And I think though, but lean in. Lean into what he's saying, because here's the thing. You and I have the tendency to get so hyper-focused and so emotionally driven about the things that worry us the most. And we're, oh, this is so important, and this is all I see, and I got to control this. I got to work, or I just got to think, or whatever it looks like for you to worry. And Jesus is saying, whoa, I want you to step back, and I want you to evaluate your life and what is life really about and what's really important. So I know it might be a little foreign, but just lean in with him. Look at the birds. Listen. They don't sow or reap or store away. They don't have a 401k. They don't have a college education, right? They don't have a day planner, or they don't have reminders on their iPhone, or they don't have a personal budget. They don't even have Dave Ramsey. They don't have any of those things. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. And listen, y'all, this is so important. Aren't you much more valuable? See, this isn't a question of what's important. This is a question of what's valuable. What do you believe? Aren't you so much more valuable to God than the birds? Do you really believe that God cares more about you and is concerned more for you? You do sow and you do reap and you do store in barns, but aren't you so much more valuable? Come on. Yes, those things you worry about are important, but aren't you more important to God? It's a big question. He's asking about what we believe, and then he says, and so anyways, I mean, can any of you, by worrying, even add a single hour to your life? If you are so valuable, if you are so important, should you be worrying, which really adds nothing to the value and importance of your life? It's not working. And here's, let me ask it this way. Does worrying add any certainty to the uncertainty of your tomorrow? And of course we are. No, So what is it, Jesus? He's asking us to just reevaluate. Reevaluate what we believe. Reevaluate our priorities, what we're devoted to. And he says, and so why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? Man, this is, again, they do not labor and spin. Who labors and spin? I do, right? I don't deal with my emotions. I work. I labor and spin. Jesus used birds to get y'all's attention. He's using flowers to get mine. You know, I'm like, oh, thanks. This is great. But no, listen to what he's saying. See how the flowers, the things you don't think are valuable, see how they're taken care of. I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? And then here he gets to the heart, the very heart of the issue of worry. And he says, oh, you of little faith. Because you see, worry is a faith issue. Worry, let me say it again, it's a faith issue. Worry is about who I'm trusting in, or what I'm trusting in, or what I'm devoted to, or what I think will really get me through the day, or what I think is really going to make a difference in me getting forward and moving forward in life. Worry is a faith issue. It's a confidence issue. What am I putting my confidence in? This is what he's saying to us. This is what he's calling us to recognize the faith issue behind worry. Our emotions, they naturally get attached to the things we are most devoted to. Our emotions, they get us wrapped around the things we get so hyper-focused. And Jesus knows this, and he recognizes that it's difficult for us to pull away when we are devoted to the wrong things. And he's saying, when you're worrying, it's because your devotion's in the wrong place. Not on important things, right? They're important, but they're just not the first thing. Worry is a faith issue. And then he just takes us to one other thing. He says, so do not worry about what we shall eat or what we shall drink or what we shall wear. For the pagans, it's his word, not mine, the pagans, these are people, they don't believe in a personal God. They don't believe that God answers prayer. They don't believe that God knows your name. The pagans, they run after all these things. They worry about all these things. This is what they're consumed with. This is what they're devoted to. But your heavenly Father knows that you need all those things. He knows. Come on, just imagine with me what your life would be like tomorrow if you knew he knew. He knows what you need. He knows your practical needs. He knows your emotional needs. He knows everything from the surface to the depths. He knows everything about your tomorrow. He knows. He knows. He knows what you need. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. And so order matters. And when you feel your heart begin to worry and you start to wrestle with the uncertainty of your tomorrow, Jesus wants us to reevaluate, what are you devoted to? And here's how he gives us his solution. He says, when you start worrying about your tomorrow, I want you to choose instead to seek first the thing that is first. Seek first the thing that is first. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek first. It's really this invitation of trust. It's this invitation to know that God is with us. It's this invitation to know that God will provide. And I know where you get stuck in here. I know that what the tough thing is that I know God can provide, but I just don't know if he will. Yeah, I don't know if he will. I know God can look after my future. I know God can provide for all my needs. I know that God can do all these things. I just don't know if he will. And Jesus is saying, yeah, but you just got to trust him. It's an invitation to trust. Jesus' invitation of seeking first is all about trusting in and putting our confidence in. It's about transferring your devotion every time you feel that emotion of worry come up. And so what does it look like to seek first? It means seeking first his priorities in your life. It means seeking first his kingdom. We say it all the time, and if you grew up in a traditional church, you said it all the time. You might not have thought about it a lot, but we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Yeah, just stop right there. Good. I want you to think about earth, your dirt, your work, your marriage, your parenting, your future, his will being done in those places. It says, seek first his kingdom in my dirt and seek first his righteousness. You know, it's beautiful. It'd be real easy to just not preach on this point. Righteousness is about his character, the way he would make decisions in the moment. So when I'm tempted to chase that promotion and I know I could get it if I would despise his righteousness and I could just kind of weasel on over, but I'm not going to do that. No, because I'm going to be devoted first to his kingdom and his righteousness. And I'm going to trust Jesus with my tomorrow. Are y'all getting this? You feeling that? That's what it looks like to put his kingdom first. I'm going to trust Jesus with my tomorrow. And I'm just going to focus on his character today. I'm going to put that first. It's when my marriage, I've been hurt in my marriage. And it really is. I want to retaliate because for years I haven't been protected. And nobody's been looking out for me. So I'm going to look out for me. And Jesus is saying, hey, I know it's important to be looked out for, but I know, and I care. I know this is heavy. I'm not making light, but listen. Seek first his kingdom. Let him worry about the tomorrow. That's heavy. That's real. Jesus is not saying these things to us in a light matter. He's not devaluing the important things. He's just saying, in the end, it's about making the first thing first. That order matters. Some of you literally have experienced a lifestyle of anxiety. It's not just moments. It's like it's days, it's been months, it's been years. And God wants to break you from that lifestyle because he knows you and he cares for you. And don't you realize how much more valuable you are to him? Don't you realize that he knows everything you need in your now and in your next now? And he's inviting you to a relationship of trusting him in every sphere, in every place. He's inviting us to each one of that. I really think this idea of trust really is the heart of what it means to follow Jesus. It's the difference between believing that and trusting in. Believing that and trusting in. You know, I believe that the Bible is God's word. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that, but it's different, and you will experience real change when you start saying, I trust in God for my finances. And I have sown and I have reaped and I've done everything I can do, but I don't really see how tomorrow's going to work out. I've been faithful with what God's given me today, but I'm going to trust in him for my tomorrow. I'm going to trust in God for my marriage. I'm going to trust in God for my prodigal son or daughter. I'm going to trust in God for my health because I know I can't control tomorrow, but I'm going to hand it over and be devoted to the only one who can control tomorrow. You with me? So our emotions, they point to our devotions. And when that happens, if you and I are honest enough, God will show us. It happened to me this morning as I was praying. God showed me what I was devoted to because I was pretty worried about today. And he said, hey, isn't that funny? Once again, just being insensitive to me. But I really think, listen, I think God wants to pull all of us in. The life he made us to live was a life of trust. It's based on a relationship of trust. And there is so much, I'm telling y'all, there is so much life God wants to give back to you as you would trust him. Stop worrying about your tomorrow. Stop worrying about your industry. Stop worrying about the trends that you see and trust in the only God who's above every trend, who's above every other thing, who he is greater than. Stop worrying about your kid's future. Stop worrying about my kid's future and this generation because there's a God who's in their tomorrow and he'll be enough for their tomorrow and he'll protect them in that tomorrow. Come on, he wants us to trust him. And what's amazing about this is you are linked arm in arm with people at your workplace, people in your family who have the same worries as you. And you can either look like pagans who worry and run after all these things, who just work, 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 or we just examine everybody's table or whatever it looks like. Or we can be in that space and say, no, I am responsible, but I'm trusting in the one who can control it. You don't have to witness in that moment. They will start asking you questions. Why are you acting this way? You're not naive. I'm putting my devotion, I'm putting all my chips in the one who can control tomorrow, in the God who knows me and the God who cares for me. And so listen, let me just drop the final bombshell that Jesus drops, because this is bigger than, I would never say this to you, but he does. He says if we will choose to trust him in our today, if we will choose to seek first his kingdom in our earth and in our dirt, and we will seek his righteousness, all these things, this is a big offer. All these things, all these important things we worry about, all these things will be given to you as well. That is an incredible offer on the table. And it's made to you by the God who cannot lie. And for me, I would never give you that offer. I can't come through with that, but Jesus thought it was worth it to put it in ink. He did more than that. See, he thought it was so worth it. I want you to think, if you could wake up tomorrow and you could truly be confident that God knows you and he cares for you, what would your life look like? How would you behave in the office? How would you behave when the next report comes out? How would you behave at home? What would change? I'll tell you, you wouldn't Stop worrying because you just don't care. Because life's too valuable for that. You wouldn't stop worrying because you know how it's going to work out. You would stop worrying because of him. And what would he have to do to prove to you that he's worthy of your trust? You who he created in his image. You who bears his thumbprint. You who he thought about meticulously about every part of your design, every part of your being, the passions in your heart, the perspectives that you have, the hairs on your head. He's thought about it all. You who God looks at, and when he looks at you, he sees himself. And when you look at him, he wants you to see how much he loves you. So much so that he sent a Savior into the world who was fully like him and fully like you, so that you could have this kind of trust relationship, and so that you could know that when he makes a promise, he stands by it with his life. This is the life Jesus offers us. And this is what it really means to follow him. And I just believe today he's making that invitation for all of us to choose to trust in him. So I'm just going to give you one thing to do. Because reality is, this is great. And this Jesus' teaching is great. But nothing has changed in your life yet. So, the next time, and here's your one blank. The next time that your tomorrow feels uncertain, choose to make today about your first devotion. And I'm assuming when I say first devotion, you know I'm talking about the only thing that's first. The next time tomorrow feels uncertain, make today about your first devotion. So again, here's what that looks like to pray it. God, I am uncertain. Some of you know we are looking at houses. We're looking to move up on the north side of the city because God has called us to start a church up there next year. And so we've looked at, I don't know, 15 houses, and I have this need. There's quite a bit of uncertainty. How many of you know when you're chasing God's dreams, there are exponential quantities of uncertainty ahead of you? And so they just abound. And so there's a little bit of uncertainty in me, and I want to stay on realtor.com till midnight, just refreshing. Let me catch the newest house at every moment. Some of you aren't even looking for a house and you do that, but that's another sermon. So there's such an uncertainty, and here's what that prayer looks like. God, you know, it's just that simple. God, you know the home and where we need to be. You know the school my kids need. You care about us. And so show me what it looks like to make today about you. Show me what it looks like to make my today about you. And I promise you, if you will pray that prayer, he will answer it. I've been praying that prayer for 17 years. Sometimes I get it right, sometimes I don't. But in those moments, anytime I turn to God and I say, show me, he will show me. Just say that after me. Let's just practice that prayer, okay? Just little bites. Say, show me what it looks like to make today about you. Yeah, that's it. And the next time your tomorrow feels uncertain, I just want you to make that choice to make your today about your first devotion. Make today about how you can seek first his kingdom and trust him with your tomorrow. And if you will do that transfer of devotion in your heart, I'm telling you, you will experience a peace that surpasses human comprehension. Not because things have changed or the opponent has changed, but because you have changed. Because what you are facing is not an opponent that's outside of you, but what you need is a change inside of you. And that is the invitation Jesus gives us when he says we can trust him. And so I want to close today, and I love Jesus' teaching, and I think he does such a good job with this. I feel like the call, though, is that we have to decide to transfer our devotion. And if we'll do that, I believe that he will give us that peace and lead us to that place. He will show us how trustworthy he is if you and I will just trust him. So can we just pray for a moment? And I want to invite you I know that some of you might have checked out and now you're back in, but others of you might have been feeling that worry. You know exactly, you can pinpoint that place of worry in your heart. Maybe you're like me and you don't worry with your thoughts, but you worry with your work. And God said, hey, I know you. I know where you're at. Today, in the end, what you decide in this moment is only symbolic. What matters is what you do tomorrow. But I still believe, even there, that there is something today God wants to set in your heart. There is a line in the sand I believe God wants you to make to say, I know I worry. I know these things are outside of my control. And I know that, God, they are important to you. But still, I'm going to choose to make you first. I'm going to choose to seek your kingdom first. Lord, I know you've been speaking to hearts in this room. I know that, God, it looks different for each one of us. There's not a formula to this or a step-by-step, but each one of us have different places where we're struggling with worry and we're struggling with uncertainty. And so, Lord, I pray right now you would show us what it looks like to make a stand and to put you first. I just believe for some of you today, it's important that you make that symbolic stand. And right where you're at, right in the season that you're in your today, right now, that you would stand and seek first his kingdom. Just make that statement. So would you, if that's you, would you just stand right now and just make that moment? Amen. Amen. These worries are serious, I know. Amen. These are important things. He knows. He knows they're important. And he cares. Listen, man, this is the word of the Lord to you. He cares for you. He knows. He knows what you're carrying. Man, I can feel the weight of the anxiety and the worry that is on your shoulders. And in the name of Jesus, I pray that his spirit would come and just release it. Would you just open your hands to him? I just feel like God wants to do, as you do a transfer devotion, God wants to do a transfer for you. So Lord, I pray that you would open these hands and you would release the weight of this anxiety and release the weight of the worry in these hearts and in these minds. And Lord, I pray that you would then replace it with your peace. God, that they would know, may there be a supernatural knowledge that you are the God who knows them, you are the God who cares for them, you are the God who holds tomorrow, you are the God who is above and far above anything, Lord, that they could ask for, imagine. They don't have to worry about that. God, they do not have to worry. They do not have to worry how low the valley is. Listen, some of y'all, you don't have to worry how low it gets. He's there in your tomorrow. He will be there in your every tomorrow. He's there now. Lord, would you do that exchange in these hearts? And just in your own words, you don't have to say it out loud, but just hand that over to him and receive back. Receive back. Just say, I trust you. I trust you, and receive back that peace. I don't want to move past this moment of prayer without recognizing, I think there are some of you may have never realized that really following Jesus is more about trusting in than just believing that. And today God wants you to, God, I just believe God brought you here, and it might have been for various reasons, but he's brought you here because he wants you to know he is real, and he is a God who knows you, and he's a God who cares for you, and he's inviting you in to a trust relationship with him. And if you need to make that step, and you've never had the moment of just taking that first step with him, I'm not going to ask you to stand today, or I'm not going to call you out. But as everyone's in prayer, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand again, just as a symbol of what's happening in your heart, that you're saying, yes, Lord, I choose to trust you. If that's you today, would you just raise your hand right now so I can agree? Amen. Amen. Wow. Amen. Amen. Wow. Man, so many right now just trusting Jesus. I just want to lead you, and there's nothing's magical about the words, but just a heart-to-heart, I want to lead you in a prayer just of making that declaration. And I'm just going to say it out loud. I just invite you to say it in your heart. Lord Jesus, I give you my life today. And I let go of control and trying to handle things my own way. And I choose to trust you and your way. Come be my leader, be my Lord, be my Savior. And fill me with your Spirit so I may have the power to live your purpose for my life. And Lord, right now, I just pray that those who have said yes to you, whether for the first time or whether it's for a place of worry, I pray that you would come and, God, assure your presence by your Holy Spirit. May they feel that you are with them, that you are the God who is here now and you will be in their next now. And they can trust you and make decisions and steps each day to trust in you. And Lord, we just thank you that your word is true, that your promises are good, that you saved this teaching from Jesus for thousands of years. So today, we could stand in the face of our worry and choose to make this all about you. And we say yes to that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, can you thank the Lord for the goodness of his word and his promise for you? Amen. Awesome. Hey, I'm just going to invite everyone to stand. I know some of you just sat down, but this is how we do it. Hey, let me just have one final moment. You know, as a church family, we're in this season of these goals, and some of you might be looking at these and saying, and these cards are in your seat in front of you, but you might look at these goals and be like, what does this have to do with my goal, the goals God has for my life? And what I just want to say is, seek first his kingdom. And there may be a way that you're supposed to seek first. And stop worrying about your tomorrow and trust him here. Again, listen, y'all, just a symbol of trust. I encourage you, some of you, this may be a practical answer to the very prayer you just prayed. So if you take this out and you mark, whether it's coming back next Sunday or whether it's committing your life to Christ, if you just made that decision, we'd love to walk with you and just say, hey, here's what your next steps could be. So that's what this card is all about. For some of you, there's other steps on here, but it may not be on this card, but it may be. And so I encourage you to think about that, to make a stand today that you're going to seek first his kingdom. Amen? And my prayer is that God may give you the courage and the strength and the wisdom to walk in trust tomorrow and the next day and the next day. That you would know that he is the God who will supply all you need. He is the God who knows you and who cares for you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. Yeah, he's good. Have a great week in the Lord. We'll see you next week for part 4 of First and Goal.